Just got a little harder to rent out short-term property for some Toronto Airbnb hosts. Toronto City Council passing new rules coming into effect next year. Going to restrict listings to principal residences and also ban homeowners from listing any secondary suites such as basement apartments. As you said, the new rules go into effect July 1st of 2018. Some, of course, happy with the city's latest moves and others, of course, are not. For a closer look at the two sides, we're joined by David Clement. He is North American Affairs Manager, Consumer Choice Center and Fairbnb's Torben Whitees. Thanks for joining us, gentlemen.
Thank you very much for having us.
All right, so Torben, you and I have spoken in the past about this issue, and obviously a Fairbnb, it's a coalition of many concerned parties, including the hotel industry. How do you view the moves in Toronto? Are they positive ones?
Yes, I think the City of Toronto was tasked with a very delicate and complex issue to balance the need to protect Toronto's scarce housing stock and the need to allow people to actually use their own home to share the home if they want to on the short-term rental market on platforms like Airbnb. So I think they were pretty, they were in a tough spot. I think the city has done an immensely good job in doing the research, and I was happy to see that the council actually voted the regulations in last night.
Now, the Consumer Choice Center, I understand, it's a fairly new group. It's only been around this year. Sort of a libertarian stance from what I can understand, where less regulation is better. So you take a look at this, you don't like this regulation.
Yeah, so what we do is we advocate on behalf of consumers in terms of market access and consumer choice. So the way that we look at this is that it's very heavy-handed, and I would say completely unnecessary in terms of the conversation about the housing crisis and the lack of long-term rentals in the city. So when you look at the numbers of the secondary suites that are rented in the city of Toronto, approximately the average for those units in terms of rental days per year is about 30% of the year. So the likelihood of those units going from the short-term rental market to the long-term rental market is near zero.
So it's what I couldn't understand, because I saw your argument earlier when you put out your release. And if I am a landlord and I have either a secondary suite that I've put money into and I was expecting to get income fund, or I have an actual different home in a different part of the city that I'm paying a mortgage on and I want to be cash flow positive, I might prefer to put it on Airbnb. But if I can no longer do that, if the game has changed, wouldn't I want to get into the long-term rental market? I want to see a return on my investment.
Of course, but the thing is that there just aren't that many hosts who do what you described. Most of these secondary suite opportunities are people who are using what is otherwise dead capital. So an example would be a family who has a son in university. They have a basement apartment. He lives in there during the summer when he's home from school. They rent it out on Airbnb while he's away at school. Mm-hmm. That unit isn't going to the long-term rental market. And the majority of the units in Airbnb for the city of Toronto in terms of secondary suites fall into that category. So it's a symbolic gesture in terms of doing something about the housing crisis, but it doesn't really have anything to do with alleviating the pressure that we're seeing, and it doesn't do anything to liberalize the building permit process, which is where the real problem is.
Now, Torben, obviously you want to see some results from this. We've been talking about this for a long time. The city has made its move. Can we actually alleviate the vacancy crisis that we have in the city? Because people are told, okay, if you can't afford a home, don't worry about it. Just become a renter for life. You can do that successfully, and then you go try to rent. You can't find any place to rent either. Can these moves actually put more rental stock into the market?
I think the Toronto's housing crisis has many causes, and Airbnb, we know no one has ever said that the short-term rental market and companies like Airbnb is the cause of it, but it's a contributing factor. And looking at the regulations now, we know that at least 3,200 units that, according to Airbnb's own data based on the City of Toronto's estimate, would be placed back into the long-term rental market, which is huge in a city that is suffering from a housing crisis and some neighborhoods have less than 1% vacancy rates. And, I hear the discussion about secondary suites, but we really have to look at the entire regulatory package. And I think the principal residence requirement to actually limiting people's ability to participate in the home sharing market to their own home is, like the foundation of this whole framework. And we should not forget that. And the secondary suite piece is one that we know secondary suites have been promoted by the province of Ontario. It's part of the province's affordable housing strategy. It's part of the city's affordable housing strategy. And secondary suites have always been some more affordable housing stock for the City of Toronto. That was created and promoted historically to provide long-term tenancies. there are about 70,000 families that rely on these in this form of housing. So I think what the city has done at this point has said, okay, we don't want to incentivize landlords from using secondary suites on the short-term rental market, putting tourists in competition with long-term tenants and renters in the city that contribute long-term to the city's economic and social and cultural well-being. And they said, okay, we draw a line in the sand. We still allow homeowners to use secondary suites on the long-term rental market, as always intended, and they can still use this extra income they generate, which is plenty in a market like this in Toronto, to support themselves and their families. So I think it's a fairly nuanced balance that the city has struck here that balances the rights of tenants and homeowners, the rights of consumers, and protects a lot of consumers too that have issues and contacted us in condos that, for example, move into a condo, invest into their home on a residential street, and out of the sudden they are prevented from the peaceful enjoyment of their own property because you have party houses pop up on their floor or next door. And I think the city had put a regulatory framework in place to allow people to peacefully enjoy their own property, whether they're tenants or renters, and also generate some income from it on the long-term and short-term rental market.
I want to get back to you not being a fan of the regulation, but in a strange kind of way, if you regulate Airbnb, which they're doing, they're actually giving it legitimacy. Because for a while, it was just sort of out there in the wilderness. So how do we treat this? Is this illegal? Is it not illegal?
Right.
Do the regulations in some way at least say, okay, the sharing economy is a real thing and we're going to allow it?
Well, in some sense, it tips its cap to the sharing economy and says, hey, we're moving you away from that gray area into the legitimate market. What my colleague here has misrepresented is the amount of rentals that will actually make that move. So in theory, if the policy were to work as it is described, which it won't, then you would see these rental units move from the short-term rental market to the long-term rental market. The problem is that the numbers just don't match up to suggest that that's what's going to happen. And the reason for that is that most of these secondary suites are not rented on a full year basis. And long-term rental market renters don't rent for less than a year.
What does the city have to do then? I mean, how do we get this rental stock into the system then?
An example would be in Ward 11. There is a lot. It's been approved to be built approximately 110 affordable housing units, so that's 20% lower than the rent in the area. Approved to build in 2008, the city councilor in that ward has thrown every single roadblock possible to stop that unit, that building from being built. It's what we call NIMBYism. It's not in my backyard syndrome. There are lots of people who talk about affordable housing, but when push comes to shove, they say not in my backyard. And my worry here is that we see this NIMBYist attitude treated in regards to items like Airbnb, treated in regards to issues like affordable housing. So our perspective here is to not ban secondary suites because it's not going to work, and two, don't trample on the rights of property owners. There are all sorts of issues that could be described in terms of people having parties or having Airbnb units in condo buildings that say they shouldn't, but realistically, that comes down to two conversations. Conversation between a tenant and his landlord or her landlord. So if they're violating terms of their own rental agreement, there's no need for the city government to get involved there. That's already not approved. And two, the rights of people who own standalone homes and respecting the rights of them to control who they can and can't host in their house. I don't usually quote Pierre Elliott Trudeau, but I will here. I don't think that it's appropriate.
I wasn't expecting that.
I don't think that it's appropriate for the government to be telling people what can go on and what can't go on in their own homes. So I think this is a really heavy-handed misstep from the city.
All right, gentlemen, I appreciate you both coming in and sharing your views with us. Definitely not a topic that many people agree on. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.